Welcome to the Fightful Select Weekender Podcast. Today is Sunday, May 2nd, 2021. I'm Steven Jensen. Hope you all had a great week. Got a list of topics for today's episode, then we'll jump right into it. So on this edition of the Weekender, we have results for Impact Wrestling, 205 Live, NXT UK, MLW Fusion, NWA Power, Ring of Honor, GCW, and I have a recap of the latest Being the Elite episode titled Hit by a Truck. We also have some AAA news that overlaps with Impact Wrestling as well as AEW, so we'll talk about that as well. But before we get into all those topics, as always, I have some shows to watch on IWTV. So I'm going to do two recommended shows again this week, and they're both from the same company, AIW, also known as Absolute Intense Wrestling. They had two shows recently. One was called Hello Cleveland. The other is called Is This Something You Might Be Interested In? So the first of the two shows, these are the matches to expect. We had Manders versus Tim Donst, Wes Barkley versus Swoggle, the main event, the team of Duke Davis and Gannon Jones Jr. taking on To Infinity and Beyond, the team of Cheech and Colin Delaney. We had Derek Dillinger versus Shane Douglas, Lee Moriarty versus Dominic Guarini, Matthew Justice versus Kaplan, AIW tag team titles on the line, the Philly Marino Experience, the team of Philly Collins and Marino taking on the Bitcoin Boys, the team of Eric Taylor and Mikey Montgomery, also taking on 40 Acres, the team of Trey Lamar and PB Smooth, as well as the team of Bulking Season, Arthur MacArthur and Chuck Stone. So a four-way match for the tag team titles. And in the main event for the AIW Championship, they have the Absolute title and the Intense title on the line. Joshua Bishop holds both. He takes on Mance Warner to defend the titles. So that's the first show, and that is loaded. And I am so happy to see AIW back. They were on a little bit of a break from IWTV. They had some stuff kind of popping up here and there. Like they had a taped show over the Collective slash Showcase of the Indies weekend and stuff like that. But AIW is one of my favorite independent promotions. Joshua Bishop, their champion, coming into the show against Mance Warner. One of my favorite talents in the entire scene of independent wrestling. I talk about him quite a bit here on the Weekender. And I don't say this lightly, but I don't say this for any other reason than I think that this honestly is the truth. If someone were to ask me, of all the people in independent wrestling right now, if you take into account their age and their size and their promo skills and their just kind of intensity and believability, and somebody who hasn't even reached their potential yet but is already so incredibly good that you know when they hit their potential, they're going to be a massive star. That, to me, is Joshua Bishop. I mean, he's a young guy. He's, like, in his early 20s. He's probably, like, 21 or something like that. I remember interviewing him back when he was, like, I mean, he was literally maybe, like, 10 matches into his career at that point. I think I'd seen his, like, first or second match ever live. And he's a guy who is just so talented, and he's getting so good so quickly. And he has every intangible you would want. All the things I just listed. He's so damn good. And he's a little rough around the edges in some spots, like, but it's just stuff that's just going to get better with time. And I love that he goes for certain things. Like, even if it doesn't come off 100% perfect, I love that he's out there going for it. The guy's crazy. I mean, he'll jump off balconies, but I'll also go in there and have just a straight up great independent wrestling match. He can have, I mean, his match with Matthew Justice last year at the Collective was just one of my favorite matches of the whole year. I'm such a huge fan of Josh Bishop and so many of the other people I'll highlight here on this show, but I wanted to just start off by saying, great to see AIW back, great to see Josh Bishop, and Wes Barkley, who was on the show, took on Swoggle. Wes Barkley is a great compliment to Josh Bishop. They were kind of, I mean, they're still kind of our tag team, but more so it's been positioned lately as Joshua Bishop and, Wes Barkley being kind of his manager, and Barkley has been cutting these great promos and doing these like recorded vignettes I'd seen him doing on Twitter and stuff. And I mean, Wes Barkley, I think, compliments Joshua Bishop really, really, really well. He reminds me in some ways of guys like Truth Martini, which is like a big compliment. So it's, I think that at some point I'd love to see Josh Bishop in AEW or NXT, on that next level, sometime in the next year or so, maybe year, 2 years, something like that, whenever he feels like he's ready and these other companies do as well. But he will be one of those guys. I have no doubt in my mind that he's going to be a massive star in professional wrestling. He's just a can't-miss talent with just a great attitude. And I hope that when that day comes, Barkley comes as a package with him, because I think the two of them work really, really, really well together. And speaking of Wes Barkley on this show, his opponent Swoggle, y'all know him as Hornswoggle from the WWE. He's still all over the place doing his thing. He recently had a boxing match where he got just completely murked, but good for him for, you know, giving it a shot. And you can see him a lot on the Major Wrestling Figure Pod on YouTube, and you can hear him on their podcast and stuff like that. So it's cool to see him so involved with Cardona and Myers and their YouTube channel, all the success that all of them have had. Also on the show, you had Manders. Talk about him pretty much every week. One of the fastest up-and-coming, you know, rising talents in independent wrestling right now. A guy who really checks every box you're looking for out of a mainstream wrestler. Like, he's very believable, and he has the size and the athleticism, and he's gotten very good very fast. And he's another guy that I've heard there's already interest in at that quote-unquote next level, so I'm very interested. And we've been seeing a lot of Manders in GCW and stuff. He's been highlighted in some pretty big spots. He's been one of the main players in SUP lately out of Nashville. So big things in the future for Manders. We had Derek Dillinger versus Shane Douglas, which that's wild just to say. Derek Dillinger, you know, I remember him years ago as Derek Direction as a part of the production tag team, which was him and Eddie Only. Eddie Only is now part of 440 and just a complete scumbag of a human being on the show, but is a really nice guy in real life. I hate to say if anybody, sorry, kayfabe and all that stuff, but like, I've talked to Eddie Only, and he was super, super, super nice. But I love his scumbag character, but he's separated from Derek Dillinger now, and Dillinger's doing his own thing. And this match with Shane Douglas, I thought was actually really good considering, you know, Shane Douglas's age and how long he's been wrestling and all that stuff. But he looked pretty darn good out there. And, you know, props to Shane Douglas for going out there and, you know, still giving it 100%. I mean, he went out there and had a pretty damn good match. I was very entertained by it. I really was. We had Lee Moriarty versus Dominic Guarini. These are two of the best guys on all of independent wrestling. Moriarty, I've been alluding for weeks now. I really think we aren't going to be seeing much of him on the indies, going forward. He's just so good. He's so talented. And I know there's interest there at that next level as well. So enjoy Moriarty while we can. Maybe he'll be on the indies for years. I don't know. But just, I have a really strong feeling that Moriarty could be one of those guys that we see on NXT or AEW or somewhere, you know, within the next year or so. He's just so talented and he's created so much buzz for himself. Dominic Guarini is doing great work in MLW, and pretty much any independent wrestling company you can name, he wrestles. My brother, it's funny because he's my brother's favorite wrestler, because my brother lives right up the street from me. He's like 5 minutes away, so he comes over here and hangs out a lot, and I have wrestling on the TV. I got two TVs in my living room, and one of them almost always has wrestling running, and a lot of the time it's independent wrestling, or it's MLW, something on YouTube, whatever, and every time my brother's over, Dominic Guarini's on the show. It doesn't matter if it's on MLW on YouTube. It doesn't matter if it's a show on IWTV. It doesn't matter if it's some GCW thing or some Pit Fighter thing or like whatever. Dominic Guarini just happens to be everywhere, and it's well-deserved. I think he was the second ever Southern, yeah, he was the second Underground, Southern Underground Bone Storm champion, beat Curt Stallion for that title. And Guarini is just doing great things. He's the current SUP tag team champion with Kevin Koo as Violence is Forever. He is also, I think he's still the Black Label Pro tag team champion with Guarini as well. I could be wrong, but I think he still holds that title too. And just the sky's the limit for a guy like Dominic Guarini. He keeps getting better, and he's got that believable BJJ background and all that stuff. So can't say enough good things about Dominic Guarini. We had Matthew Justice on this show. I mean, one of those guys that just has all the tools to really do anything he wants to in wrestling also, but he seems to really love going out there and being crazy and just, you know, doing crazy stuff. And I love the stuff that he does. He really brings a feel of the original ECW to current day independent wrestling. And I know that that's intentional, like, and that's a good thing. And of course, you know, a part of that Second Gear crew, that tag team match, like I mentioned, there's so much good talent there. Arthur MacArthur, I've been seeing more of lately, and he has, you know, a strongman gimmick. It's a real throwback. It took me a minute to get used to, but I really respect kind of him doing something different, and I do like what he's been doing. I think the Bitcoin Boys have a lot of potential. I've been seeing a lot more of them recently. Trey Lamar, I talk about him a lot. He's gonna be I'd say probably in the next year or two, he's going to be one of those guys that we're talking about, like a Blake Christian or an Alex Zane or a Ben Carter, somebody who, you know, once people really start realizing how good Trey Lamar is, and he's so young still too, like he's going to, I think he's one of those guys, once he makes kind of a name for himself on the indies, I think he's going to get swooped up fast. I feel the same way about Lee Moriarty right now, as I feel Trey Lamar will be maybe, I don't like giving time frames because, like, you know, if, I'd like to see Trey Lamar get signed tomorrow if it was, you know, what he wanted and what one of those companies wanted. But, you know, Lee Moriarty has hit a point where it's like he's already running out of things to do in independent wrestling. Like, he can keep going out there and having incredible matches, and there's a lot of people he hasn't wrestled. But it's just one of those things, you know. And I feel like Trey Lamar, he's going to be one of those guys to fill some of these gaps where it's constantly happening, where people are going to keep getting signed, and you're going to need that next group to rise up and fill those spots. And I think Trey Lamar is going to be in like that next group of guys. And Mance Warner was on this show too. He took on Joshua Bishop for that AEW Absolute and Intense double titles. And, you know, Mance, another guy who we've been saying it for a while, very similar to a guy like Moriarty or even a guy like Manders and stuff. And even to a higher degree, because Mance has really been on top of the indies for, you know, longer than those guys have. I feel like it's just any day now we're going to hear about Mance Warner being signed, unless something has just gone terribly wrong. But we've been seeing him, you know, in GCW and doing his thing on the indies. But there was a lot of speculation a while back that Mance was going to be going to either NXT or AEW, and the strong rumor was AEW. And I mean, I have sources that have told me stuff, and I don't know what's true and what isn't, but I think that Mance Warner is signed. And I don't want to say where, because I don't want to like be wrong or speculate or like give false reporting or whatever. I really feel like Mance Warner is signed right now, because we're not seeing him that often, and he only had like one or two matches over the whole collective weekend. And I've talked to a lot of people that were either wrestlers or commentators or, you know, promoters or whatever involved with the collective weekend or the showcase of the indies weekend. And there was a lot of talk about that, about, man, it's kind of strange that Mance hasn't been doing a lot this weekend. And then kind of people tongue in cheek being like, well, I mean, there's probably a reason for that, right? So another, similar to a guy like Lee Moriarty, I think we need to really, really appreciate Mance Warner while we can. And then the next AIW show was called Is This Something You Might Be Interested In? That's the actual name of the show as a question. These are the matches to expect on that one. And I won't double up on talking about the talents that I've already talked about. It's a lot of overlap here. But we had Kaplan versus Levi Everett. And by the way, great to see Levi Everett out there. He got injured. I don't know what the full extent of the injury was, but he got knocked out cold, and I'd imagine a concussion, or I don't know exactly. I don't want to speculate or be wrong, you know what I'm saying? But he got landed on hard. It was the first match of the collective this year. It was a six-man scramble match, and Ninja Mac, who is like one of my favorite guys on the indies right now, he hit a Phoenix Splash 630 leg drop, which I know that sounds impossible, but go and check it out. Ninja Mac is out there completely defying physics and gravity, but he landed straight on Levi Everett's head in that match, and Levi had to literally be carried out of the ring. Like, it was really scary. So it's good to see, you know, Levi Everett, you know, back having a match. We had 9 to 5 taking on Bulking Season in a tag team match. We had Allison Kay taking on Jocelyn Navarro. We had Tommy Rich taking on Mance Warner. Wow, Tommy Rich, what a throwback name. We had Big Twan Tucker versus Braden Lee versus Casey Carrington versus TKD versus Riley Rose versus Derek Dillinger. We had 40 Acres taking on the main event. We had Eddie Kingston taking on Dominic Guarini. And in the main event, we had the winner of the Joshua Bishop and Mance Warner match taking on Matthew Justice for the title. So another stacked show here. Once again, a lot of overlap and a lot of really great matchups. I mean, you had Wildfire Tommy Rich taking on Mance Warner, and I'm sure that's a match that Mance Warner really, really, really wanted to have, you know, with Mance Warner's background and him being such a throwback himself. And Tommy Rich got a really great reception from the crowd, by the way, in that one. Eddie Kingston and Dominic Guarini, you know, I'd already talked about Dom, but Eddie Kingston, I mean, we see him on AEW all the time, and he's doing big things for them. And, you know, a guy who's been around independent wrestling for, you know, what, like 2 decades, something like that. It's just really great to see him still contributing and giving back to the scene with all his recent success, once again, with AEW. And he's in a top storyline right now with Jon Moxley and the Elite. And just the fact that he is still out there, you know, giving back to independent professional wrestling and having matches against guys like Dominic Guarini, really setting up that next generation of potential stars. You know, I think that's just really, really cool. And Kingston's the man. You know, anywhere he goes, he gets over with the crowd. He's so believable. He's so great on the microphone. And what he does in the ring suits him really, really well. So, yeah, this was just really cool to see. This was a really good show from top to bottom. But there's just not a lot for me to really talk about here because I've talked about so much of the talent already. Although, you know, Allison Kay was in this one too. She's one of my favorite female wrestlers in the world right now. And she's somebody that, I don't know what her exact situation is. Like, I know she's obviously not with the NWA anymore, but I'd like to see her in AEW or NXT if, like, that's possible. I don't know if there's any, like, reasons that that isn't happening, but I think Allison Kay is, you know, very talented, so it was good to see her on the show as well. But yeah, check both of these out. Once again, that was Absolute Intense Wrestling's Hello Cleveland and Is There Something You Might Be Interested In? And you can watch both of these right now on independentwrestling.tv. If you want to check out the service, use code FIGHTTALK, F-I-G-H-T-T-A-L-K. Once again, that's F-I-G-H-T-T-A-L-K. No space, all is one word. Put that in the promo code spot for independentwrestling.tv or IWTV.live and help support me and the podcast that I do, the Fight Talk podcast. So that would be very much appreciated. And even if you don't use my promo code, still support independent wrestling and check out Absolute Intense Wrestling. Moving on, we have Impact Wrestling results. This was from this past Thursday. I'm still used to calling it Tuesday. But this past Thursday, you can, of course, watch these live with myself and Joel Pearl. We do those every Thursday. And every 2 weeks, we have Jeremy Lambert. And then every other week, we have a revolving third guest. This past week, we had Jeremy for like a half hour. And then the rest of the time, we had Hannah Moore, which was a lot of fun. So if you want to watch those each week, we basically, the closest thing I could like compare it to is, for those of you who are old like me, Mystery Science Theater. It's basically three of our heads talking to each other while we're watching Impact on the screen above us. And it's a lot of fun. I mean, a lot of the time we're not even talking about the matches. We make sure to highlight, you know, the important stuff going on, but we're sitting there talking about wrestling, interacting with the chat, talking about life. It's a whole lot of fun. And then I usually go back and rewatch the show afterwards because, you know, while we're hanging out, there's going to be things that I miss every now and then when we're watching on Twitch. So I've got the results for you today. And once again, check that out every Thursday. That's at Impact's watch-alongs that we do on Twitch. So that's twitch.tv/FightfulGaming. So this week we had the show open up with Chris Bay versus Jake Something. Chris Bay gets the win with a roll-up. Definitely, I shouldn't skip over this. The show opened up with Scott D'Amore and Don Callis, like basically talking to Don Callis and saying that they're going to be setting up a 6-way number one contenders match for Kenny Omega's Impact World Championship. So there's going to be 6 qualifying matches over the next couple weeks, and the winners of all those matches are going to wrestle each other in the 6-way. And there's also some talk about potentially stripping Kenny Omega of his championship, depending on if he's willing to defend and all those things. So a lot of the next few weeks is going to be based around building up and figuring out who are going to be in the 6-man match. The first of those matches was Chris Bay defeating Jake Something, and it was great to see Bay back. You know, Rahit Raju is the one who cost Jake the match by distracting him. So it looks like there's going to be more there between Rahit and Mahabali Shira and, you know, Jake Something. And so that should be really good. A lot of talent there. But Chris Bay gets the win. He's going to be in the 6-way match. I think that's the right call. As much as I like Jake Something, you know, there's two guys in Impact Wrestling who I'm constantly saying, you could build your whole company around these two guys, and I don't know why they stop and start their pushes so much. But those two guys are Chris Bay. Or actually, I should say three guys. Chris Bay, Ace Austin, and Willie Mack. Chris Bay and Ace Austin have been positioned pretty well to take those reins right now. Willie Mack has a little bit of a recovery, I guess you should say, that he needs to make, because they've made him just lose so often recently that it would be hard. for, I think, kind of the casual Impact viewer or casual wrestling fan that's checking out Impact just now every now and then, I think it'd be hard for them to accept Willie Mack as a main eventer right now just because he loses so often. Obviously, I disagree, and I think he's a great talent, and I want to see him pushed, but I could understand the perspective of, like I said, somebody who maybe doesn't watch Impact as often or is only really watching since the AEW co-promotion and that kind of stuff. But the other guys, you know, Chris Bay and Ace Austin have been positioned well enough that I think you could push either guy to the world title right now, and it would be great. The next match we had was W. Morrissey defeating Sam Beal. Got the win with a powerbomb that looked really nice. Morrissey, obviously, you know, the former Big Cass or Cass XL on the indies, he looks really damn good out there. I mean, the guy's huge. And I know that that's not everything, right? I'm a big Omos fan from what I've seen so far in WWE. And a lot of that has to do with his size, but I like the way that they use his size and the way that the moves that he does and the way that he moves around the ring and stuff like that. That's why I like him. It isn't just because he's big. That's a big part of it. But, you know, the same with Big Cass, with Morrissey. He's 7 foot tall. You can't teach that. And he looks just jacked out of his mind right now. I mean, he looks like he's in the best shape of his life, and he's moving around great, and it seems like he's got, you know, the past issues that he's dealt with under control, or you know, he's in a good place in his personal life, and you know, this is great to see. This is a real great redemption story we're seeing right now with W. Morrissey, and he keeps it rolling with that win over Sam Beal, basically a glorified squash match, but that's exactly what it should have been, and Morrissey with that powerbomb win, I like that a lot. Because, you know, I like Cass using some of the, you know, I like his move set, but I think a move like a powerbomb is a great finisher for him because he's so tall that it just looks devastating, you know, falling from that high up. So all good stuff there as far as I'm concerned. After that, we had Taylor Wilde, you know, returning to Impact Wrestling in the ring, taking on Kimberly, got the win with an Indian Deathlock submission hold for the tap out. Good to see Taylor Wilde back in there. Her and Kimberly have a lot of similarities. You know, I was talking about it during the Twitch stream. It was kind of like mirror images of each other. They have similar builds. They both have blonde hair. They both have blue ring attire and stuff. So kind of a lot of similarities there, you know, just for whatever it's worth. It doesn't really mean anything, but I just kind of noticed it. It was almost, when I was looking at them face to face, like staring at each other across the ring, it was almost like the old Batman and Batman meme, the Spider-Man meme, where they're like facing off against each other. But you know, I like both of these women. It's great to see Taylor Wilde back in the company. Her entrance music is atrocious. They need to do something about that. Shout out to Joel Pearl for pointing that out. And because when I watched the pay-per-view Rebellion and her music was playing when she came out to the ring, I thought that they were playing like the wrong audio. I honestly did. I thought it was similar to the AEW situation when they were playing like NBA background noise on accident. You know, it's just the music is just that bad. So they need to change that. And Kimberly, I think, is, you know, very talented, and she's just kind of waiting for her time to shine, I think. You know, obviously she's paired with Deonna Purrazzo, the champion, who we'll talk about more soon. But you know, Kimberly is somebody that I think is going to be very valuable to Impact Wrestling's women's division, Knockouts division. You know, going forward for like the foreseeable future, I could see her and Deonna having a really good program at some point against each other. After that, we had a really, really, really good match where Josh Alexander defeated Ace Austin and retained the X Division Championship. Got the win when Ace Austin was going for the fold, you know, his running blockbuster type move that he does. And he basically gets hit with a power bomb and put into an ankle lock, and just really, really smooth. The whole thing was done really well. Just a great match. A match that while we were watching it on Twitch, we were kind of going in and out, and it was like, well, this is incredible. This is really damn good. And then I watched it back, you know, before recording the show, and it really, really was. I mean, it was definitely the match of the night. It was one of the better matches Impact Wrestling has had in a while on their, you know, on their weekly show. So huge shout out to Josh Alexander and Ace Austin. From going forward from here, you know, Alexander, X Division champion, I'm cool with it. I like Josh a lot. I think he presents something different to the X Division. I'm looking forward to his title run. I hope it is a lengthy run. You know, they have a really bad habit of hot potatoing the X Division Championship. There's been so many champions just in the last, you know, the last year or two. I feel like there's just been so many, and it's, you know, for a casual viewer, it's got to be impossible to keep up. And then even as somebody who watches weekly like myself, it's like, I can keep up with it, but it's like, I'd like to see some title reigns that, you know, last a while, build up the prestige of these belts. Now, they're always going to have good matches. That's the real upside with the X Division title. But I want to see Josh Alexander have a real run with it. You know, a real 6 month to a year long reign. I think it would be just incredible to see. And Ace Austin, now he seems to be out of the X Division title mix. And I think he was one of the, I think he's going to be one of the participants to potentially be in that six man for the title opportunity. So this is where I think you need to really start the build of Ace Austin, like big time. Like, he lost here. Fine. Forget about it. Let's move on. Ace Austin needs to go on a streak right now. He cannot be losing for the next few months, in my opinion. He needs to be winning and winning, you know, impressive matches. I would be completely fine. I'd be ecstatic, actually, if Ace Austin wound up being the one who wrestles Kenny Omega for the championship. I think that would be just an incredible match and a great way to really help elevate Ace Austin, you know, amongst just like his name within the wrestling community, you know, as a whole. So this is their opportunity. You know, Josh Alexander, this is going to be great if they keep that title on him for a while. And Ace Austin, this is your chance right now, Impact Wrestling. You got to push him. You got to go all the way right now with Ace Austin, as far as I'm concerned. After that, we had Matt Cardona defeating Brian Myers. Got the finish with the radio silence. Myers was going for the radio, for the roster cut clothesline, and Cardona hit the radio silence. This is exactly what you would expect it to be. Man, I hate to sit here and be like trying to like sound snotty or whatever, but it was like a WWE style match, which is kind of what you would expect out of these two. I assume that Cardona would win because Myers won at the pay-per-view. Now that, you know, they're 1-1 against each other, I feel like this feud is going to continue. It's not like it's the worst feud in the world. I just can't get over the kayfabe aspect of it. I know I shouldn't take that into account. And wrestling is like, I get it, but it's just the feud just does nothing for me, and the matches aren't like particularly great or anything like that. So that's just my personal opinion. I love both guys. I've watched their YouTube channel, their Twitch on a daily basis. Like, I am a huge major mark, but I really want to see them doing their own things. And I think this only continues to hurt Brian Myers. The more that he's associated with Cardona, the more that it's just going to put Myers more and more as a sidekick or a background guy. And I think Myers did a great job when he left WWE last year to really, really, you know, try to reinvent himself and do his own thing in Impact. Now that Cardona is there, it's interesting because it kind of is that storyline on Impact, you know what I mean? But then you turn on YouTube and they're together at the show buying action figures together. So it's just very strange. And in the main event of the show, we had a no contest between Sami Callihan and Eddie Edwards. The finish basically never happened, but when the match ended was when Kenny and the Good Brothers came out and started beating people up. And then Finjuice came out, who are still the Impact Tag Team Champions, coming out of Rebellion, which is pretty amazing. And of course, Kenny Omega is the Impact Champion and all that stuff. And Kenny and the Good Brothers celebrate after, you know, they've beaten everybody up and they've held down the ring themselves and all that stuff. So a lot of interesting stuff going on in Impact Wrestling. And a lot of stuff, interesting stuff going on in AEW and this whole Forbidden Door thing. And speaking of that, I do want to talk about AAA a little bit, because, or AAA, depending on who you're talking to. A couple big points of news to talk about right now. We had Andrade, he's going to be challenging Kenny Omega for the AAA Mega Championship at Triple Mania, which is huge. It's huge for AAA to get Andrade, and it's massive that he's going to wrestle Kenny Omega for that championship, because the match is going to be incredible. There's going to be a ton of buzz around it. I mean, that is just going to be so damn good for so many reasons, and I think the build is going to be really, really fun. The promos and the video packages I'm sure that we'll get, I think it's going to be amazing, and I love seeing Andrade kind of back in his element, you know, back with AAA. And I think this is just the beginning of, I saw that he's popped up one other place that I can't remember exactly where, but I know that it isn't just AAA that he's going to be appearing, you know, soon. And I would hope that that also includes, you know, him popping up in AEW or Impact or wherever, because Andrade just got, just grossly underused in his WWE run. I don't really know how else to put it. The guy had the potential to be, you know, their next big kind of Eddie Guerrero type guy. You know, that Latin market that the WWE is always looking for, you know, the next Rey Mysterio, the next Eddie Guerrero. You know, Andrade was right there. I mean, he was the guy. He could have been so big for them, and it would have been so well deserved. He's so good in the ring, good looking dude. Like, just what's not to like about the guy? And he has all the experience in the world. And I just can't believe that they messed that. I shouldn't say I can't believe it, because WWE's messed a lot of people up, but that was like especially head scratching. So it's great to see Andrade is going to be heading to AAA, and he's going to be taking on Omega for that Mega Championship at Triple Mania. I am so pumped up for that. And also, we have Impact Knockouts champion Deonna Purrazzo. She'll be taking on Phoebe Apache, and that's going to be title versus title. She's the AAA Reina de Reinas champion. And that's going to be Triple Mania also. So that's huge for Deonna Purrazzo. That's huge for AAA, huge for Impact, huge for the Forbidden Door. And this, I really think this is going to really help Deonna, whether she wins or loses. I hope that she wins, but this just keeps establishing Deonna as, in my opinion, probably the top women's wrestler that isn't currently signed to the WWE. I think she's probably, because the WWE has some really fantastic women, you know what I mean? Like, Charlotte Flair is a legitimate star. You know, Becky Lynch is a legitimate star. You know, Sasha Banks is a legitimate star, you know, and they have a lot of people like, you know, Bayley and Io Shirai, I think, is going to be really big for them. And Asuka is a pretty big name and all that stuff. Like, the WWE, as bad as their writing is, they have an incredibly deep and talented group of women that work for them. But outside of that, I think Deonna Purrazzo is probably the best going right now for my money. So I think that's going to be huge, title versus title. If she wins, even better. And hopefully this opens the door, because I think Deonna Purrazzo and AEW would just be massive for AEW's women's division, especially if Britt Baker wins the title and we get Britt Baker versus Deonna Purrazzo, you know, title versus title at some point, Impact champion versus AEW champion. I think that's just printing money. I mean, and what better way to get people to shut up about AEW's women's division not being good enough or whatever? Like, if you have Britt Baker as the champion, and we already saw Britt Baker versus Thunder Rosa, that might have been the best women's match I've ever seen in my entire life. I mean, that was fantastic. And, you know, if we have Deonna Purrazzo taking on Britt Baker, there's nothing to complain about there. They're two established women with great characters that are super over, and they're both great in the ring. So it's going to be a great match, great build, everything. So, man, I really hope that that happens. Moving on. We have 205 Live results. Show started off with August Gray and Jake Atlas defeating the Bollywood Boys. The finish came when August hit a corkscrew crossbody to get the 1-2-3. So August Gray back in the win column. Jake Atlas seems to win pretty much every time I watch him. And the Bollywood Boys kind of serving the purpose they continue to serve. They're always just kind of going to be the... I don't think they're ever going to be tag team champions. I don't think they'll ever have any individual titles, anything like that. But they do a very good job of making other people look really good. And they're very, very solid in the ring. Like, they do their job and play their role perfectly. And this was the right move. August Gray and Jake Atlas are two guys that I see, you know, contending for the Cruiserweight Championship in the near future. And then the only other match we had on the show, the main event, we had Ever-Rise defeating Arya Daivari and Tony Nese. The finish came when... Ever-Rise hit their sweet taste for the 1-2-3, and it was great to see Ever-Rise back on the show, because I feel like it's definitely been at least a few weeks since we've seen them on the show, and they're a great tag team. I'd like to see them doing more in NXT, and I know that they have done some stuff in NXT, but I don't follow the weekly show, although I'm going to start watching again on Tuesdays now that it's not on the same night as AEW. But, you know, I want to see Ever-Rise doing more with NXT, and, you know, the WWE's... Once again, I don't watch Raw and SmackDown very often anymore, but I would imagine that their tag team divisions are still probably really, really, really thin, because WWE just really doesn't care too much about tag team wrestling, seemingly. So I feel like there's always room for another tag team on Raw or SmackDown that's like an actual tag team. And Ever-Rise, you know, there's nothing wrong with these guys. Like, they're a really solid tag team, I think. It's just you mainly see them on 205 Live, so most people just don't really know about them. But you know, I think that they're really solid. And Daivari and Nice are in the same kind of position as the Bollywood Boys. You know, Tony Nice has had a lot of success on the company, or in the brand, you know, former Cruiserweight champion and all that, but he's the same kind of thing with, like, Daivari and the others. Like, it's just, their role right now on 205 Live is to set up the future of the brand and whatever they're going to be doing with that new Evolve-style show or whatever's going on with all that in NXT. But I'd imagine that, you know, Nice and Daivari right now on 205 Live, their main goal, similar to the Bollywood Boys, make the next generation, the next contenders, look really, really good, and they're succeeding at that. So this was all solid stuff. You know, obviously we still haven't seen Kushida actually wrestle on 205 Live. He's the NXT Cruiserweight Champion. I'd really like to see him be a part of the show, considering he does hold the title, but I know he's been, you know, occupied on, you know, NXT and all that stuff. But yeah, you know, and then also I saw Sean Ross Sapp actually right before I started recording this. He tweeted something earlier and it was like Mansoor will have his 50th win in a row when he wins his next match, which is pretty impressive. So I'm assuming we'll probably see Mansoor next week again because he wasn't on this week. But yeah, I mean, once again, not a whole lot to talk about outside of, you know, Kushida's not there, which, you know, he's doing bigger and better things with NXT, to be honest, but, like, this is a show based around the Cruiserweights, so it would be nice to see him as a part of it. But, yeah, good wrestling, you know what I mean? Just, it's just such a missable show. Like, if you don't know about Ever-Rise, I'd recommend watching it. If you have somehow missed August Grey up to this point, I recommend watching it, but, like, you know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? It's just kind of, I feel like I kind of say the same thing every week when it comes to 205 Live. Now, if their champion was involved more often, I think it'd be a can't-miss show, because if you had Kushida on there having, you know, really, really good matches against Mansoor or August Grey or Jake Atlas or any of these guys, or, you know, even Curt Stallion if he were to come back and that kind of stuff. Like, there's that kind of stuff would make it a can't-miss show, because you would have that on top of the already solid wrestling that we get every week. So, you know, I'd just like to see them do more with 205 Live, but I also have just a strong feeling that 205 Live is going to somehow morph or turn into, or those guys will wind up becoming a part of this new Evolve show that they're, whatever they're going to call it, but that Evolve-style show that I've been hearing about. Moving on, we have NXT UK. Show started off with Tioman, I'm so bad with that, pronouncing that dude's name, Tioman, defeating Rahan Raja. This was Raja's NXT UK debut, and he looked solid, but Tioman got the win. He put Raja in a crossface, and it was kind of brutal, but it was also kind of corny how they did this. So he has him in the crossface, and then he just, like, leans back really hard, and Raja's arm or a hand, like wrist, something in his arm, you know, snaps. But they put the sound in it, so like you heard this crunch, and it was like, on one hand, like I said, like it was pretty brutal to hear, but on the other hand, it was so fake, you know. But the point was made, you know. Tioman is a bad dude, and you know, he's getting a heavy push, and he's an interesting character, so no problem here. You know, Raja losing in his debut, that's never, you know, the best look for somebody, I'm not going to lie, but, you know, it could be worse. After that, we had Shaw Samuels defeating Levi Muir, got the win with a spine buster for the 1-2-3. No surprises here. Samuels, you can tell that they have high hopes for him, and anyone who's got a nice spine buster that can use as a finisher, I am all for that. I talked about that with Carl Anderson the other week. After that, we had Sada Mora defeating Valkyrie. Got the one with the Scorpio Rising, which is her step-up axe kick. Looks brutal for the 1-2-3. Good stuff here. Two of the best women in NXT UK, in my opinion. And Sada Mora, no surprises. I want to see her continuing you know, continuing to, you know, rise the ranks. Valkyrie was undefeated heading into this match. So this was, you know, a big moment for Sada Moore ending that streak. But, you know, it just, you know, it was, I think it was time and it was the right person. And Valkyrie losing here probably takes a little bit of the pressure off. And if this was, you know, real competition and stuff, you know what I mean? Takes kind of the pressure off, you know, gets the loss, doesn't have to think about it anymore. And Sada Moore, they're going to continue to build. And there's just, I got no problems with any of this. I think Sada Moore was the right person to win. And, you know, props to Valkyrie for being undefeated up to this point. And this is just one loss. I'd imagine that she'll probably win her next match and the next match after that. She's only going to lose to the tippy top of the division. And right now, Sada Moore is one of those at the tippy top. And in the main event of the show, we had Gallus defeating Symbiosis. The finish came when Joe Coffey hit Primate with all the best for the bells, his spinning clothesline for the 1-2-3. No problems here. Gallus, super, you know, super impressive always. Really, really good team. Very solid. And one of the real backbones of NXT UK since the beginning of the promotion. And Wolfgang really, when he went out there, he did some pretty crazy stuff. Like, right at the end of the match, he hit a really nice senton, like back senton, and then did the Big E YOLO dive through the ropes and everything. So I thought the finish was really good. And you know, Coffey's really gotten over that all the best for the bells as his finish and all that, and just, yeah, just really good stuff. No problem at all with who won, and it was just a really solid episode of NXT UK. You know, similar to 205 Live, the only difference being that NXT UK, you know, it provided more matches and a little bit more character development and stuff like that. But once again, NXT UK and 205 Live, both very, very solid wrestling shows, and shows that if you're a wrestling fan and you got free time, I do recommend going out of your way to watch this stuff if you just want to see really good pro wrestling. And speaking of really good pro wrestling, we had Ring of Honor, got results for that one right now. We had Dak Draper and Eli Isom wrestling to a time limit draw. So no winner there, but two very, very talented performers that I think Ring of Honor has really high hopes for each of those guys. And after the match, Dalton Castle came out and attacked them, which is good for Dalton Castle because I like how he's been used lately. Historically speaking, I haven't been the biggest Dalton Castle fan throughout his Ring of Honor run for a bunch of different reasons, and none of them have to do with him personally. I just never really attached to the character too much. I was really salty that he beat Cody for the Ring of Honor championship, if I'm being honest, and all that stuff. But I think what they've been doing with Castle lately has been really, really good. After that, we had The Righteous cutting a promo, and they're talking about Vincent, and it was a really well-done promo. After that, we had LFI, the team of Roosh, Kenny King, and La Bestia del Ring, taking on and defeating Violence Unlimited, the team of Brody King, Chris Dickinson, and Homicide. But the finish came when the Foundation ran out to the ring and they caused the DQ. They came out and they started fighting everybody. So the SHIT hit the fan between LFI and Violence Unlimited. They were just brawling all over the place, and then the Foundation came out. Everyone was just brawling. And they did announce that on the next episode of ROH TV, we're going to have a TV title match where we're going to get champion Hot Sauce Tracy Williams defending the title against Tony Deppen, who, of course, is a part of Violence Unlimited now. And I think that's going to be a really, really good match. I won't spoil it because I know the results, but we'll talk about that next week on the show. But I would recommend anybody go out of their way, as you know, I watch it weekly, obviously, for this show, but I would recommend anybody who maybe hasn't been watching Ring of Honor to check out this week, because regardless of who wins the match, whether it's Hot Sauce or Tony Deppen, I haven't seen that match yet, but I can pretty much guarantee it's going to be a really, really good one. I mean, Deppen has been one of the best in-ring wrestlers on the indies for years, and the only downside to Deppen at all, and this isn't his fault at all, but so much of what he's done on the indies lately has been going out there, having one of the best matches on the show consistently, but he's constantly kind of used as a guy to make other people look better. And based on where I feel like they're going with these stories and this upcoming match with Deppen and Tracy Williams, I feel like this is going to be a big moment for Tony Deppen. And Hot Sauce, I feel, has had some big moments already, right? I mean, multiple titles already with Ring of Honor. He was, in my opinion, the best technical wrestler in all of independent wrestling before signing with Ring of Honor. As far as, you know, I know some people probably consider Ring of Honor to be the indies, but if you don't count Ring of Honor as an indie, I think that Tracy Williams was like the best technical wrestler on the indies before he signed. And now there's guys like Lee Moriarty and Daniel McCabe that I think are in that conversation as like the current best. And Tracy Williams, I'm just such a huge fan of. So I really can't wait to see this Tony Deppen versus a Hot Sauce match for the TV title next week. So on this show for this week, you know, a time limit draw and a DQ finish. So that kind of sucks. But outside of that, like, it just continued to build stories and continue stories and build characters, which I'm fine with as long as next week we just get some really good solid wrestling with some definitive winners. And, you know, we could see Tracy Williams retain that TV title. We could see Tony Deppen become the new champion. I think either way, both guys are incredibly talented, and I think that match is going to be really, really damn good. Moving on, we have results for NWA Power. Show started off with Trevor Murdoch. They basically set something up where there's going to be a match in the main event, and if Murdoch loses, he has to like leave the show for a month. But if he wins, he gets a shot at Nick Aldis in the World Heavyweight title. So that's set up at the beginning of the show. The actual first match we had, Sal Renaro and Kratos, JR Kratos, they wound up fighting to a no contest. Tim Storm was on commentary during their match, and Kratos, you know, got in his face and everything and was yelling at him and whatnot. And there's, you know, they're setting up Kratos and that whole tag team situation that was set up last week, where we have Tim Storm and Sal Renaro on one side, we're going to have JR Kratos and Aaron Stevens on the other side, and they're just continuing to build that tag team. So I don't really mind the no contest here, because they're just building that tag team match for the titles. After that, we had Slice Boogie and Jax Dane. They went back and forth, and we find out that next week they're going to have a Falls Count Anywhere match against each other, so that could be really good. And something that wasn't very good, we had the Pope defending the NWA World Television Championship. He wrestled Tyrus, and this one ended in a time limit draw. Austin Idol, like, obviously throughout the match, tried to help Tyrus win, but was unsuccessful. And Tyrus, he just is not good in the ring. I just don't know how else to say it. It's honestly mind-boggling that they have the roster that they have, and Tyrus is the one getting this push right now for the TV title. I'm not going to hold anything against the Pope. Like, D'Angelo Gennaro, super talented, consistent, you know what I mean? Like, I have no reason to say anything bad about him. Like, I think that he's really entertaining. I think he's the perfect guy to be the TV champion right now for the NWA. But Tyrus is just not good in the ring. And it's just kind of hard to watch. I mean, last week, that triple threat match that he had was just with Marche and Matt Cross. He was atrocious. I mean, it was just really bad. And like, I know I'm not the only one saying this stuff. I'm not going to throw people under the bus that have also said this, but I know I'm not alone feeling this way. And it just doesn't make sense when you watch this show. And I mean, I hope that they end this feud and this whole situation soon. I was hoping it'd be over on this show and that, you know, D'Angelo would just beat Tyrus and that'd be it. And Tyrus would go off and, you know, do something different. And here's the thing. I love Austin Idol. I think he's perfect in the role that he plays. But the Tyrus thing just doesn't work. After that, we have Thunder Rosa and Camille. And basically, Melina and Taryn Terrell are going to speak for them. They're trying to set up a rematch between Thunder Rosa and Camille. And they're doing it through Melina and Taryn Terrell. Melina is trying to get Rosa this rematch, so Melina's really, like, advocating for her. And then Camille says that next week we're going to find out, like, what she's going to want out of this, you know. So Camille's only going to give Thunder Rosa the rematch depending on what she says next week. So we'll see where that all goes. I think it's pretty clear we're going to get Camille versus Thunder Rosa still. And I really hope Serena Deeb is ready to come back soon, because the sooner they can get that belt on Kabil, the better, in my opinion. I love Thunder. I love Thunder Rosa. I love Serena Deeb. But Camille, like, this is her time right now. Like, this is it. The story has been built. The stage has been set. And Camille should be the next NWA Women's Champion. I don't think there's any doubt about it. And, you know, once again, nothing against Serena Deeb. And she's currently injured. So I know that's why, you know, the match hasn't happened or why she hasn't been, like, involved lately. But I think all signs point to Camille winning that title when she gets her opportunity against Deeb. So I'd imagine Camille will wrestle Thunder Rosa again in the meantime. She'll defeat Thunder Rosa again, and that will set up the match. But, I mean, like, her match with Thunder Rosa at that last NWA pay-per-view, I thought was really, really good. So, yeah, I mean, we'll see where that all goes, but we'll have to wait till next week to find out, like, the rest of the story there. And then in the main event, Kratos, Latimer, and Adonis, who were out there representing all this, and this was per the stipulations that were set up at the beginning of the show, they defeat the team of Trevor Murdoch, Aaron Stevens, and Tim Storm, and because of the win, Murdoch has to leave the show for a month. So he will not get a shot against Nick Aldis, and he's not even going to be on the show for the next month. So we'll see how that all goes and how that story progresses. I'd imagine, ultimately, it'll ultimately end with Murdoch eventually getting a shot against Aldis for the title, but we'll see how the story plays out. But for the time being, Murdoch is gone for a month, and Aldis does not have a challenger right now for his championship. So that'll do it for NWA. Moving on to GCW. I'm just going to run through and give you the results for this show. This was Ashes to Ashes. It happened yesterday at the time of this recording, and there's a ton of great talent in this. So I'm going to give you the results, and if you want to go back and watch the matches, I would recommend doing so. Game Changer Wrestling, probably the biggest independent wrestling company out there right now. You know, if you don't count Impact and Ring of Honor and stuff as indies, I think GCW is probably the most prominent, the one with the most eyes on it, and all that good stuff. And, you know, their whole collective weekend and their Fight Forever 24-hour show that they did recently. I mean, it's just, I think GCW is doing just incredible stuff right now, creating a lot of great buzz for itself. These are the results. So if you want to watch Ashes to Ashes, I'd recommend not listening to this because it's just going to be straight spoilers. But if you don't mind the spoilers or if you've already seen the show, I'm going to give you the results right now. We had a six-way scramble where Solomon defeated Philly Mike Swanson, Christian Robinson, Jeffrey Jean, Levi Everett, and Mike Donovan. We had a segment where we find out that Ricky Shane Page is no longer a member of Game Changer Wrestling, and he's only with Jersey Championship Wrestling now, and Jersey Championship Wrestling recently came back. So that's a really interesting story because the whole RSP versus Nick Gage story, and with Brett Lauderdale, who, you know, runs GCW, coming out Paul Heyman style, a la, you know, ECW One Night Stand 2 and counting the pinfall for Rob Van Dam. He did the same thing for Nick Gage over Ricky Shane Page and at a Spring Break. And, you know, now it's like GCW, the story here has been that GCW has been looking for a way to get rid of RSP this whole time. He was just this despicable champion, and now they have gotten rid of him, and he's only with JCW. So I think that's going to be a really interesting story going forward. After that, we had Atticus Kogar over Tony Deppen, Cole Radrick over Braden Lee. In a mixed tag team match, we had Iron Beast, the team of Shane Mercer and KTB, defeating the team of Alley Cat and Effie. We had Lee Moriarty over Joey Janela, Mance Warner over Nolan Edward. A six-way scramble where AJ Gray defeated Ninja Mac, Dante Leon, Ken Broadway, frontman Ja, C, and Yo-Yo. We had Nick Gage retaining the GCW World Championship in his first defense since winning the belt from RSP over Jordan Oliver. And in the main event, in a glass ceiling match, we had G Raver defeating Jimmy Lloyd. So a lot of stuff going on in this. Like I said, Nick Gage and Jordan Oliver here. I love Jordan Oliver. He's probably had the biggest... I'd say Nolan Edward was probably the MVP of the collective weekend. But Jordan Oliver was like my runner-up. I mean, he won the Acid Cup, and he looked just incredible all weekend. He's been doing great stuff with MLW, and he went in there and really showed out against Nick Gage. And like I said, Nick Gage defending that title, it's just great to see him as the champion again after that 18-month story with RSP. G Raver and Jimmy Lloyd, they've had a long-running feud, and this was just another another I don't even know what you call it, another chapter in their very long story of just decimating and brutalizing each other. So much talent on this show. I mean, Nolan Edward and Mance Warner. I mean, Nolan, I talk about him in the same way that I talk about Moriarty and those other guys. Like Edward, I just feel like he has all the tools, everything you'd want out of a guy that you would want in a mainstream pro wrestling company right now. So enjoy Nolan while we can. Moriarty, I mentioned him just then. He was on the show against Janela, and Janela, just huge props to him for, you know, still doing what he does to continue to build independent wrestling and use the name value that he's gained over the years on top of the name value he has through working in AEW and just continuing to give back to independent professional wrestling. Just seeing Joey Janela is awesome. Cole Radrick and Braden Lee, just incredible stuff. Cole Radrick from Bell to Bell is probably my favorite guy to watch right now. Just so much fun to watch in the ring. Super technical, just super believable in what he does, and just the way that he's just getting better and better and better and better. And then Braden Lee, Brazy, a guy that he still is kind of flying under the radar, I think, but a guy who, once a couple people get signed, he'll be kind of like a Trey Lamar type guy that I think Braden Lee is going to fill some of those top spots. Iron Beast, one of my favorite tag teams right now. Mercer and KTB, just two big dudes who are just completely insane that do stuff that I've never seen before. Alley Cat and Effie, two of my favorite independent wrestlers. I mean, Alley Cat, probably my favorite female not signed to any major company. And Effie, a guy who has just carved a just fantastic niche for himself and continues to just keeps getting better and keeps doing his thing. And he gets over everywhere he wrestles, in front of any crowd he wrestles in front of. I mean, there's just so much damn talent in this. I talked about Ninja Mac earlier, one of my favorite high flyers right now. Dante Leon, another guy who I think is an incredible high flyer who's flying under the radar. AJ Gray, a guy who, you know, has the talent and the look and the build and the in-ring skills and the promo skills and just the aura about himself that, I mean, he could be a massive star for any company. I mean, this is just, there is so much talent on these shows, on these GCW shows. Atticus Koger, I didn't even mention him. Him and Tony Deppen. Deppen, I talked about with Ring of Honor. Kogar, a guy who I think is one of the best guys on the indies. You know, he's mainly known for his deathmatch stuff and his green skewers that he pops into people's foreheads. But he's a guy who I think is going to one day be a very sympathetic babyface and a guy that I think is going to be a big star in pro wrestling. I think he complements RSP and 440 great, and I hope that one day he turns on RSP and he's the reason 440 breaks up. And I hope he beats RSP one day. Just a lot of good stuff there. Highly recommend checking that out. That's Game Changer Wrestling's Ashes to Ashes. And lastly this week, we have a recap of the latest Being the Elite episode. This week it was titled Hit by a Truck. Show starts off with... I can't remember how it starts. I got my notes here. It was... oh, that's right. It was the Young Bucks and the Good Brothers. Just not funny segment once again. They're talking about their danglies, which are like their earrings that they wear that dangle off their ears. And Carl Anderson's talking about his danglies are down here, and he's got like the little thing you use to tie your shorts or whatever, and his shorts are super short, and he's like swinging them around, and Gallows is trying to too sweet his dick and stuff. Just, and all honestly, just not funny. I'm just so over it. After that, we had Moxley and Kingston driving the truck into the Elite's trailer, which we saw on Dynamite this past week. But we see the footage of the Young Bucks running away all scared, and it's with that music that they used to use on the show, and people would run down the hallways. It's some sort of meme that I don't get. After that, we had the Young Bucks. They were at the airport, and Matt's suitcase got damaged by the airlines. We had a Dark Order segment where Stu Grayson's sitting in the spot where Anna Jay usually is, kind of above everybody. Heyman comes in, and he's mad that... Dark Order hasn't been, like, didn't have his back, and they're not even looking at him while he's talking, and they're salty because they didn't bring him the egg rolls last week that they were, you know, that they were promised, and Reynolds says that they had to cut 12 inches off of his arm, and Evil Uno says he knows where they can find 12 inches, so they attempt to get the penis that Five, Alan Angels, has recently acquired, that giant hog that we talked about last week. After that, we have, this was a pretty funny segment. We had Brandon Cutler talking to the Young Bucks. The Young Bucks are talking about how they feel bad that Cutler got his face smashed and all that stuff. So they give him an elite jacket, and Cutler is all pumped up. He's like, oh, all right, finally, like, I'm actually an official member of the elite. And the back of his jacket says Young Boy, which I thought was really, really funny. After that, we had Leva Bates. She's sitting around backstage. Peter Avalon comes in. He's really nice to her, but then when Cesar Bononi comes in or walks by, Avalon basically pretends like he doesn't like her and kind of sucks up to Bononi, and then she leaves, and he just looks like he's sad and confused. We get more Dark Order stuff where Stu Grayson is in the lair or the hideout or whatever you want to call it for the Dark Order, and he wants to attack, you know, get revenge on Matt Hardy and the Butcher and the Blade and Private Party and that whole group. He basically starts walking down the hallway, and Anna Jay is walking the other direction. And when he turns back around, it's Abaddon standing there looking all scary and spooky. After that, we had Ryzen talking to Vicky Guerrero and Nyla Rose, and Ryzen has an ice pack on his genital area, and it's because he ate all that Blue Chew a couple weeks ago, and he now realizes that Blue Chew isn't candy, and Nyla Rose and Vicky are kind of making fun of him, and you see like a flashback of Ryzen talking to one of the AEW doctors who can't help him with his, you know, boner situation, and you had him talking to Dr. Luther about it, and I mean, I know that Luther is a big friend of Fightful here and the Distraction Podcast, so I'm not going to say a whole lot about that. I just 99% of this BT was just a giant miss for me. After that, we had the Good Brothers and the Young Bucks sitting together in what looked like a hotel room, because it looked like they had room service and stuff, and they were recording, I think, an episode of Talk and Shop. But they're telling a story about how Matt Jackson accidentally sent a group message to the Good Brothers and Luchasaurus and I think Trent as well. And he accidentally sent them like the money, like a screenshot of his bank account and stuff and his stocks. And they just talk about that. After that, we see the Young Bucks talking to Brandon Cutler. They're at the Young Bucks house, and the Young Bucks give Brandon Cutler his stuff in a trash can, or sorry, in a trash bag. So that was and then Cutler is cleaning up the remnants of the trailer that got smashed on Dynamite. Like, he's out there like sweeping the glass. But when the Young Bucks gave Cutler his stuff in a trash bag, that's obviously a dig at the whole situation with Mickie James when she was released from the WWE and she received her belongings in a trash bag, and that became a very big thing online, and it led to the release of Mark Carano and all that stuff. So I expected BTE to do something in relation to that, and they definitely did. So, you know, there was that. So, like I said, most of this show just was not that entertaining in my opinion. All the Good Brothers shtick, I get it, right? Like, I get that they were, like, funny before, and then it kind of became cringe, and now they're trying to lean into the cringe, but, like, it's so cringe still that, like, it just still isn't funny. Some things are so cringy that it's funny to me. Like, in mixed martial arts, Henry Cejudo, he calls himself the King of Cringe, and it's because he cuts these really cringy promos, but, like, they're actually funny because of how bad they are. Same with a guy like Colby Covington. You know, say what you will about him as a person and his political views and all that stuff. But beyond that, like, when he cuts these promos where he has, like, strippers around or, like, Masvidal's ex-wife and all this stuff, like, around him, like, they're really cringy, but, like, they serve their purpose. In these segments, I just don't think that they're entertaining. So it's just kind of hard to watch every week, to be honest. But you get a couple good things sprinkled in there. But for the most part, you know, another big miss, I think, this week for being the elite. And that's going to do it for this episode of the Fightful Select Weekender Podcast. I've been Steven Jensen. You can follow me on Twitter at @FightTalk_FIGHTTALK_. Make sure to use code FIGHTTALK on independentwrestling.tv or IWTV.live. Until next weekend, enjoy some professional wrestling.